Welcome back to Senior Talk. Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence in You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Adolos.
Victoria is tough to...
Oh, she is. She's driving me today. And just going into the break, Otto had some questions, so I'm going to send it back to Otto.
I have some questions. As I said, one of them may be a little off the wall, but it has
to... They're coming from you, Otto, so I think people just want to understand that.
Like sleeping arrangements. You know, when people are younger and, you know, whatnot, they can't wait and get into the same bed in the same bedroom. But then things change as life goes on, and, you know, people snore and... Stuff happens, all right? Do you ever have to get involved with addressing that?
Oh, I thought you were going to ask Joanne if she snored.
No, that I can't tell you for sure. Actually, believe it or not, we have been involved in situations like that, and very often we do make recommendations. Some people really benefit from being in a safer bed, such as a hospital bed. And we can be instrumental in helping them arrange to have that put into their home. And they sleep much more comfortably. Maybe there is a spouse who is not getting enough rest. So we do make recommendations for that caregiver to perhaps set up in a different room just to make sure they get enough sleep, because their health, you know, has to be managed as well. And we do get involved with that, because without the caregiver being healthy and able to provide the care that this person needs, that's an issue. And a lot of caregivers do get run down and don't even realize it.
Hmm. When I was going for my master's in gerontology, mm-hmm. that was one of the biggest issues came up for a caregiver, okay. was lack of sleep.
Yes,
go
right.
back to a newborn yeah. baby and what that
right.
mother goes through.
Yeah, right. yep.
But now... You're trying to rest with your wife or your partner or whatever it's going to be.
I can't for some
You're
reason.
Screaming all night
right.
long.
Right.
You're exhausted during the day. When you have to make them lunch, you want to kill them instead.
Exactly. Right.
You know, and that's yeah. really, so that's a good
so
point.
Well, we wouldn't
yeah.
say
and
that.
And we do connect
I mean, this
people.
Is real life.
Yeah, no, it
yeah,
is.
That's
yeah,
the truth.
Yeah.
I agree
and there are places that provide respite services to right. certain, you know, certain types of cases. So Audrey, mm-hmm. my social worker, Robin also, and myself work together very often to try and, you know, find a service that might be beneficial. And people are very open to that. And even if you just need to, you know, you're a caregiver, you're a female, you want to get your hair done, just that break, you know, mm-hmm. just to get out and just take a little time for themselves. And we encourage that. And, you know, we assess that, and we get to know these people very well, and we understand when someone is not themselves, so we do address that.
I have a question in reference to getting your hair done, etc. How do you deal with a person, and they, I know they exist, that's not fair, I have to watch my husband, and I can't leave
mm-hmm.
for 2 hours, even though they need that 2 hour respite.
Right.
You know.
Yeah. Well, you know, we encourage it. You
okay.
know, we do, you know, try to find a way to make that person not feel so guilty about
okay.
going out.
Because
that seems to be a huge issue mm-hmm. with a lot of people. You know, it's admirable, but
right.
Not often practical and realistic for them to be able to provide the care that that person
right.
needs.
Okay.
So
We had an interesting case. We had an older, you know, senior who didn't want to leave her husband who had advancing dementia. And what we discovered, we might have even been together for this one, Joanne. What we discovered is that what was very important to the wife was to go to Mass on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of like the carrot almost. Like, if we could help you get out and go to the Mass you've gone to for 40 years, and then they used to go to a diner after Mass with a small group of friends, is that something you'd be willing to leave? Because there's a lot of guilt and a lot of worry.
Right, right.
And we were actually able to connect to a respite program where we could get somebody in for 4 hours on a Sunday morning so that senior could go to Mass. Her friends would pick her up, they would go to Mass, and then go to the diner.
Right.
And it was because the nurses and the social worker knew them so well and understood how important that was. If you said, go get your hair done, she would have said, absolutely not. Go out and shopping, absolutely not. But for her to go out to Mass, so that 4 hours of respite, and we were only able to do it twice a month, if I remember correctly. But those are the things when the nurse and the social worker have a chance to really get to know the whole person. that it makes such a big difference. And our nurses and our social workers get to know the whole person.
I think everybody needs a positive something to look forward to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
definitely.
You know,
yeah.
a purpose. And that's important.
And twice
to that
a month
person.
Doesn't sound like a lot, but to that particular individual,
right.
twice a month was wow.
It was a lot.
It was a gift.
Right.
It was more than they had before, and people do appreciate that.
Yeah.
Joanne, you made a comment. You get to know the people very well. I think that's one of the things about this program that's unbelievable, really. The fact that you actually get to know the people.
Yeah.
This is not like you mm-hmm. come in and, hi, goodbye, I'll mm-hmm. be,
no.
you know, maybe I'll see you again someday, or somebody else mm-hmm. comes in.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the same mm-hmm. people coming in, get to know you, get to know your situation in high confidence. And you know, I think that's invaluable, really,
yeah.
you know, to have that kind of setup.
I agree.
Yeah.
Talking confidence. You go into a male or female, excuse me, senior,
mm-hmm.
and there's issues, and you know this needs to be taken further.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have to get assigned? I mean, you know they have children.
Yeah.
Do you have the right to call the children automatically because it's a bad situation, or you have to get you
yeah,
have to
I mean, yeah,
get them into it?
We do. I mean, there are HIPAA laws
right.
that we do have to abide by.
Oh, you have to go through HIPAA?
So,
not through HIPAA.
She's an RN, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
yeah. I thought that's
only
in the hospital.
I do work
okay.
for the Northwell Health System, so, you know, I am
both.
A registered nurse, and so we, you know, we do abide by that.
Okay.
But we do talk to families. Sometimes we have to limit the amount of information that, you know, but we do, we are allowed, very often the family member, the client is sitting with us when we call.
Okay. Or
we'll say to, please call my daughter and let her know, you know, everything that's been going on here. We respect that, you know, and we know our limitations on what we can and can't
okay.
say. But it hasn't been an issue for us, thank goodness. I mean, we've been able to work with the families and the patients, the clients usually consent to that. You know, but like I said, there are some limitations. Between healthcare professionals, no, because we're already, you know, under the healthcare umbrella with that. So healthcare to healthcare provider, we are able to discuss things
right, okay.
about the client. But, you know, with outside family members, friends, things like that, no, we're very, very careful. There are limitations to what we can and can't say. But we are able to get around that and get the help that's required
right.
of that person. So we're actually very good at it because we know what we can and can't do.
Which is the most important thing.
Yeah.
The person's getting help, but their privacy, which you said before,
is
being
very,
respected.
Yeah, very respected.
So nobody's going to know
yes.
that Susie
right.
or John
right.
had an
yeah.
issue with something.
And it's self-autonomy. We said, you know, from the very beginning, we want people to have as much self-autonomy as they possibly can.
Right, right.
And because a nurse comes in or a social worker doesn't mean you give that up. And we're, you know, I know we're very careful with, you
yes.
know, some people, like I think Rebecca said earlier, are afraid that if their children know how bad they may be,
right.
that they're going to be taken out of their home.
Right.
And that's really a fine line, you know, that we have to walk on. But the other hand also is that one of our responsibilities when we are assessing safety is that if we think a person is at risk of harm in any way, that we do take it the next step.
Well, then you have to act.
Then we
right.
have to.
We have to.
So we're not going to walk out and let someone be in an unsafe situation.
We're not going to leave right, someone
no.
unsafe.
Basically, you have to be a diplomat sometimes between
absolutely.
Family
yeah.
complications.
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yes.
Because
you know,
the
yeah.
families don't always agree on how...
Oh, and there are clients you know. Who don't want us to tell their maybe child or whoever the family member may be certain things, and you know, again, we respect that. We also sometimes it's not always verbalized, but we just know
mm-hmm.
you know what's going on, because like we said, we do get to know these people very well, so we're very careful. Like I would want to call, let's say, a family member because I think it would help with safety issues, but I know that it's necessarily
not a good idea.
Right. It doesn't really respect what that client wants. So I have to really use good judgment on a lot of these type of issues.
Yeah.
For the younger, you know, for the younger seniors and even like children, it's just so important to plan every aspect,
mm-hmm.
every avenue, everything that mm-hmm. Joanne sees mm-hmm. when she does a home visit or a social worker sees when they do a home visit. You know, we created this program called the Circle of Support,
mm-hmm.
and which really kind of outlines, you know, what we see could be so many potential issues as you age, and we have this resource that you can actually plan when certain situations come up. What do you do? Instead of, you know, waiting for, you know, getting to the point where maybe you're desperate and, you know, Joanne or one of our social workers comes to your house and you recognize there's all these issues. So it's so important to plan. And that's really one, you know, the main purpose of Project Independence and helping people age in place is planning for these things. And maybe you'll never need Project Independence. But, you know, it's good to prepare, because so many things that you see, if only they establish some kind of plan, they would have, you know, really been in a better situation. So the circle of support, maybe we can talk about that a little bit, just in terms of how it would help somebody who really isn't a great planner, or what are the things to look for to kind of, you know, avoid or, you know what you might be expecting. And also always calling 311.
Right. And Joanne's programs in the community too.
Right.
Yeah. So
when we go in, social workers and myself, you know, we do address the circle of support. We try and help them think about, or get them to think about, you know, who in the community are their support system. Are they connected to a church? Are they connected to any other organization in the community? Do they have neighbors that they can count and rely
on?
Where is their family?
You know,
these
Joanne,
are
I'm going to cut you off for a second.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to go to a break, because this is important, and I'd rather you start again and do the whole flow.
Yeah, sure.
So you're listening to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org, and we're going to be right back with Joanne going through Circle of Support.